Well, God has blessed us with a beautiful day to enjoy, has He not? What a blessing it is to be a part of this assembly, to enjoy the good singing and to be taken to the throne of God by the prayers that we have prayed, to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper and give as we have been so bountifully blessed, and to study from God's Word. We are of all people most blessed, and it's good to see you this morning. Just a quick update in regard to Maywood Christian Camp. The week at Maywood was fantastic, and to just give some visible results, as of today, 25 baptisms and 25 restorations. And so, rejoicing with the announcement that was made this morning concerning the baptism over the weekend, and praise God for all of those wonderful blessings. This morning, as we engage in our study, I want us to think about what is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. We're talking about what I like to call the Book of Life. Well, I don't call it that. The Bible calls it that. And the Book of Life is one of the most important books that we will find in anywhere in Scripture. In fact, when we think about the Book of Life, it is one of many books that we find mentioned in Scripture. In fact, when we think about judgment, there are books of judgment of which we need to be aware. These books are very important because, you see, we'll be judged on that great day based upon our deeds. And having lived for the Lord, we want to be pleasing to the Lord. When you think about these three or these various books in relationship to the final judgment, books of judgment, they're so very important. For example, when we think of the books that will be opened on the day of judgment, no doubt there will be the Bible there. John 12 and verse number 48, Jesus very clearly, "The words that I have spoken, the same will judge man in the final or the last day." Whatever Jesus has said in regard to the communication of His Word here on earth, that will be present in regard to our life's existence. What about the Book of Deeds? Well, both in Revelation and 2 Corinthians, there we find this mention. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in this body, whatsoever we have done, whether it be good or bad," clearly identifying our actions while living here in this world. Then no doubt we understand there is the Book of Life. That takes us to the passage in Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11 down to the end of the chapter, and called the Book of Life. And when we think about the Book of Life, oh, how important it truly is, I believe a question with which, or a question that no doubt is important for us to consider, is our name written in the Book of Life? Consider there what John said. He said, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged, every man according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And every man was judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, folks, that is one of the most sobering readings that we will ever find anywhere in God's Word, because it speaks of heaven and hell. It speaks of truth and justice. It speaks of right and wrong. It speaks of being approved of God and those that fall short of His approval. It speaks about our very existence in regard to our life and eternity. So, a question, no doubt, that is worthy of our consideration: is my name right now in the Book of Life? I hope you'll consider that and consider that seriously. I believe, well, I know that every one of us here today that is both of an accountable and an intelligent age should know beyond a shadow of a doubt if our name is presently inscribed in God's Book of Life or the Lamb's Book of Life. We should know, because God makes the promises. He has revealed His Word. We can understand what He has given unto us, and the response that we render unto Him is unequivocal. It is important So therefore, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life at this very moment? Think about the facts concerning the Book of Life. Number one, it is real, the reality of that book. Moses, back in Exodus 32:32, he was very conclusive concerning the fact that that book existed. In fact, when he came down from Mount Sinai and found Israel acting in every way but righteous, there he said to God, "God, if it will save Israel, blot my name out of your book." He understood that it existed. The psalmist, he begged the Lord that the righteous and the wicked would not be inscribed or included together in that book. And when you come to Revelation 21:27, there the existence and the importance of the Book of Life and one's name in it, well, it's undeniable. So first of all, it is real. It is full of reality in every conceivable aspect of it. But number two, what about the fact that it is a record? The little phrase written in the Book of Life. Several places in Scripture, down in verse number 15 of our text, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. There was an absence in that book. The name had not been described, or according to Revelation 3 and verse 5, it could have been blotted out. Still even further, when you go to chapter 3 and verse number 5, that is the indication. Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 3, he's very adamant in regard to his commendation concerning those that had joined together with him in working for the gospel, working for the gospel message, and he called them his yoke fellows, his servants in the Lord. He said, "Your names are written in the Book of Life." Paul understood that it was a record, but it's for the righteous, no doubt. Acts 2, verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all men, and the Lord added to the church those that were being saved. Only the saved, according to that verse, are added by the Lord to the church. Salvation is a wonderful thing, and certainly it gives that added ability in regard to the Lord's demand. When you come to the end of Matthew 25, Jesus has been giving that wonderful judgment scene, going back to the verse number 21 especially. And there in the finality of that, he said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." The pronoun "these" refers to those who had witnessed the hungry and yet had not given food. They had seen the thirsty and had not given drink. The naked and the sick and those in prison, and they had rendered absolutely no assistance unto them. They'll go into everlasting punishment. But then he says, "But the righteous into life eternal." Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to live or strive to live righteously. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they both live righteously before the Lord, following his commandments. We're commanded at Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, to live righteously in this present world. And so therefore we understand that the Book of Life, it contains the written names that have been inscribed in that book that are real, of those that are in covenant relationship with God, those that are living the faithful life, those that are following Jesus, those that are walking in the light. Folks, it's a book for those that God knows as his children. You know, some might be able to say the Lord is a shepherd, and others can say the Lord is the shepherd. Still others might say the Lord is our shepherd, but it's a person that really is in relationship with God in the fashion the Bible describes, that can utter with complete confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," and so on. When we think about this Book of Life, I know there's probably several questions that we can and should ask, and the questions are important. For example, we might ask the question such as this. We might say, well, what in relationship to this Book of Life is important? When will this Book of Life be opened? Many times in Scripture, we run across the various things. For example, in Acts 17 and verse number 30, Paul commands repentance. He said, "This is the Lord's issue, and we're living in the now age, so now the Lord demands repentance for all that are doing wrong." He gives the reason why repentance is so vitally important in verse number 31 by saying this: because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him, that is, raised Jesus from the dead. No greater assurance in all the world than the fact that we serve a risen Savior. And thus repentance is vitally important. Why? Because there's coming a day of judgment. Now we're told there that judgment will be done righteously. And I'm proud of that. And I know you are as well. Because I don't want it to be done wrongly, like some judgments occur in our day and our land, our culture, where if you have enough money, you can get the judgment in favor of you. Or if you scratch enough backs or give enough $100 handshakes, you can sway judgment and it becomes wrong. But there we're told that we will be judged in righteousness, that is, rightly. And thus, God is the one doing the judging. You know, I'm so thankful that preachers won't be the judge on that day, because I'll be the first to tell you, folks, there have been mistakes that I have made on many occasions in my life. What about elders, deacons, song leaders, Bible school teachers? Oh, none of that will be the judge on the day of judgment. Only God, through Jesus Christ, will render judgment, because his judgment will be right. But it's coming. Still even further in Matthew 20, and that is Matthew 7 and verse number 21 and following. Verse number 22 is very conclusive, because it says, many will say to me in that day. What day? Go back to verse number 21. Not everyone that says unto me. And then we have a quotation. Can you imagine a lot of people trying to gain favor with the Lord by saying to him, oh, Lord, Lord. You would say, well, they're saying the right things. It seems they have the right attitude. They're heading in the right direction. They must be right. And yet Jesus says, not everyone that just renders lip service unto me by saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, yes, we must be doers of the word, not just hearers. There's a day that is coming when judgment will occur. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, I love that passage. There, Paul charges Timothy. He gives him his marching orders. Listen to this. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is, the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Then he says to Timothy, preach the word. Be always ready, instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. What a great command Paul gives to Timothy. But he says there's a day that is coming that makes all of this preaching worthwhile. There's a day that is coming. Therefore, Christians should stand ready for the coming of the Lord at any moment. Matthew 24, 32 or 42 says, watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. When's he coming? I have to say to you, I have no idea. He's not come yet. Therefore, it's still future. So, folks, let's be ready. Why? Because there's coming a time when the book of life will be open. Will your name be in that book of life when that day arrives? What about question number two? Why will the book of life be opened? I believe that is just as important as when. Why will it be opened? No doubt, this book of life will be opened. It will be exposed to render judgment upon all intelligent and accountable individuals. That is, to determine the righteous from the unrighteous, those that have lived in accordance with God's will, opposed to those that have rejected or turned their back upon the will of God. There will be a stern differentiation between the faithful and the unfaithful when the book is opened. You know, it is said that one time Daniel Webster, you know the name Daniel Webster, that person of yesteryear, that famous person of days gone by, it is said that he was once asked this question: what's the most sobering thought you've ever had in your life? Now, here's an individual that's had a lot of thoughts, a lot of amazing thoughts go through his mind. But he was asked, what's the most sobering thought that you've ever entertained or had come into your mind? And he said this, that I must stand before my God one day in judgment. That deals with why the book of life will be opened. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I just mentioned to you 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. God will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. It's coming. It's coming. What about 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No one can hide. No one can say, well, I don't have that on my appointment list. No one can deny the fact that the Lord will be here and judgment will occur. Now, when we think about this, there's a lot of people that will deny a fact of the Bible, and that is the fact of hell and heaven. Some say, well, you know, if God is love and God is good, then why does a place like hell exist? Certainly God would never send anybody as good as He is to a place so bad. And yet God will not send. There will be an appointment, there will be a rendering, there will be a giving of reward, and based upon how one has lived and conducted themselves. Hell, thus, is a witness of the righteous character of God. He must judge sin because He will not tolerate its existence and fellowship. But hell is also a witness in the fact that, well, we understand that man's responsibility is true. We have an accountability, a stewardship. And still, hell is also a witness to the fact of the awfulness of sin. Do you want to know just how awful sin really is? Then to take into consideration the description of hell in the Bible. Well, when and why? But I believe the most important is whose name will be in the book of life when it is opened. We understand that there will be some names that are not written, that will not be found in the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's sobering to think about. My name is important to me, and I want my name to be approved of by God. And thus I want my name in the Lamb's book of life. But now, we're told that there are some that will not have their names written in the book of life. For example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verses 7, 8, and 9, listen to this. There Paul said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. He said, when the Lord shall descend from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. That pronoun them there is very important because it describes two groups. Vengeance of the Lord will be brought upon them. Who are them? First of all, those that know not God. And secondly, those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Well, what about those that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? They will not have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. But number two, what about those who become Christians? They hear the gospel and they believe it with all of their heart. They repent of their sins, confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. They're baptized in water by immersion for the remission of their sins. And they go on their way rejoicing. But then one day what happens? They become a New Testament Christian and then they quit. They will not have their names written in the Lamb's book of life. The Hebrew writer, Hebrews 6, 1 through 6, talks about those that if they fall away from what? From being a Christian. In that fallen state, God will not set aside His character and grant unto them repentance. He said no. To those that crucify Christ again and again and shame, bring Him to an open shame, repentance will not be granted. Now, if they return to the Lord, He will grant unto them. Folks, this impresses upon me, just how sad the word lost truly is. I guess the word lost is seen in various fashions, but July the 31st, 1945, at 1 minute past midnight, a ship was returning from delivering a bomb. A torpedo hit that ship and it went down in less than 3 minutes. That ship had 1,197 young American men on that ship. And when the ship was hit by the tornado and it went down, all of those men went into the water. The waters of the cold, icy North Atlantic. That ship was the USS Indianapolis, and it had delivered the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. And that was Sunday night, and those 1,197 young men, they stayed in that icy cold water all night, nearly froze to death. But Monday morning come, and they had hope. They said, surely somewhere, someone will rescue us, and they had hope all day. The sun was blazing, and it burned their skin. Monday night came, and they nearly froze to death once again, but they still had hope. Oh, yes, someone will see us, know us, and they will miss us, and they will come and rescue us. And well, all Tuesday night, they nearly froze. Wednesday morning came, and they still had hope. And yet through the group, those 1,197, some would pray the most pitiful prayers, turn loose of that which they held on, and drop to the bottom of the ocean. Wednesday night came, and some still had hope, not all. Thursday morning came, and many had given up hope and just turned loose and gone on to meet their Maker. It wasn't until about midday on Thursday that a plane came in and landed, and of the 1,197 young American boys that went into the water, only 397 came out and were rescued. And as I reread that book, the USS Indianapolis, just last week, it was impressed upon me once again just how terrible it is to be lost. Thinking, oh, someone will surely help me, and yet no help comes. I want to impress upon your minds this morning the fact that your name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life to go to heaven. And ask you this question. Is your name in that book today? Will you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, and confess that Jesus is Lord, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism so that you can arise and walk in newness of life and live your life faithfully for Him every day and every way? If you need to be baptized this morning, don't wait through hesitation or reservation any longer. We'll help you. If you've strayed away, if you became a Christian and then you've quit in some way, come home today. You've been gone too long. Eternity is too long and your soul is too important to live life on the simple possibility of your faithfulness. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, won't you come? It's together as we stand and sing.